Now Moses was tending the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. God said, Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Let's pray together. And so, Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this day, God. I thank you for the opportunity to kick off this new series called Encounters. And God, this is our prayer. As Brad said this morning so well, our desire is that we encounter you, Lord Jesus, in this room, in our lives, God, and in everything that we do. So, God, as we kick off this series, my prayer is this, that you will guide us as a people as we try to understand a very profound and complex word and scripture. And God, I pray that when we walk out of here, that we will have a hunger, an insatiable desire to pursue you and pursue encounters with you. And it's in your wonderful name I pray, amen and amen. You can have a seat. So I'm in a kind of a wrestle this morning internally in my own spirit and in my own head, and you'll understand why in just a moment. Each week I try to put together a talk that is both transformational, meaningful, and engaging with you guys and keeps you locked in the entire service, and that you walk away having experienced God first and foremost, and two, that you walk away with something that will transform your life. I shoot for about 6 pages of manuscript every Sunday, like this right here. If you've never seen this, this is my manuscript every Sunday. I shoot for about 6 to 7 pages of that. Today I have about 7 pages of manuscript, but here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to talk through the entire 7 pages of manuscript, and here's why. Because I want to come back to the story of Moses next week that we just read, which is what I was going to do in 3 pages today. I want to come back to that in two weeks, and I'll explain that later, in 2 weeks, because I want to unpack that story and exactly what Moses was going through during the time he encountered God and set up the rest of the series based upon that story. So I'm cutting those 3 pages. Everybody say yes. That's terrible. You shouldn't say that. You should go, aw. No, I'm cutting those 3 pages, but what I am going to do is I'm going to drill down pretty deeply and set the foundation for the rest of this series with a couple of funny stories and a couple of examples through life and some things that you guys maybe have experienced with me on mission trips and at camps. So before I do that, I want to share a transforming encounter that my wife had last night to set the stage for us. We had the opportunity last night to go to HBU, Houston Baptist University's first football game, their inaugural football game. Yes, we have 2 fans in the house, HBU. We have more. I like it. So we had the opportunity to go to HBU's first football game last night. It was quite the experience. As a matter of fact, I went to 3 football games this week. I went to the Klein Bearcats football game, and they got dominated by Katie. Sorry. And then I then went to the Northland football game, and that didn't go so well for them. Last night, I went to HBU's first game. They got beat 74-0, so I'm never coming to a football game again. Now, all that to say, in defense of them, it was their kickoff year, and they're going to grow, and in about 3 or 4 years, they're going to be a football team, or a football program. So that being said, my wife had an unbelievable experience last night. She acted like I have never seen her act before. As we were sitting through the game and sitting at the end of the game, we were sitting right next to Pastor Fleming and his wife and Rebecca Fleming. I think Rebecca's here. And about 3/4 of the way through the game, Rebecca said, hey, do you know, did you see Mary Lou Retton sitting up there? Now, just don't talk to your neighbor, but if you know who Mary Lou Retton is, would you raise your hand for just a moment? That's amazing. That is amazing and scary. So she goes, did you know that Mary Lou Retton is sitting right there? I was like, no, really? And she goes, yeah, she's right there. So, of course, we're getting all creepy looking around trying to catch a view of Mary Lou Retton. And my wife says, really? Mary Lou Retton's up there? Are you joking? I'm like, you're just saying somebody looks like her. And she goes, no, Mary Lou Retton is sitting up there. My wife's face lit up like it lit up on our wedding day. I have never seen her. It was almost weird how excited she got with the thought of Mary Lou Retton sitting up there. Now, if you don't know who Mary Lou Retton is, back in 1984, when most of you guys weren't alive, in 1984, during the Olympics during that year, Mary Lou Retton was the gymnast that performed probably one of the most perfect floor exercises that you have ever seen. She did like a double laid out backflip, sow cow, like pirouette type deal. It's weird that I know all that, by the way. But she did this amazing backflip. And do you remember, what did she score? Did she score a perfect 10 on that? Those guys that know this, so she scored a perfect 10 on this. So she is a big, big deal in the Olympic gymnastics world. She, as a result of that, got her face put on the Wheaties boxes. She got her face put on all kind of commercials. I think most recently I heard, where's my daughter Emily? What commercial was she on most recently? Whataburger or something like that? On Sonic? Yes? Yes, on Sonic. So maybe you saw her on the Sonic commercial. But it was an amazing. So we had the opportunity to go and get a picture of my wife right there with Mary Lou Retton. You can put that picture back up. Or you can just look at me. Okay, there you go. Okay, so that is Mary Lou Retton right there in the middle. Unbelievable. Let me tell you this. My wife was glowing after that experience. Like, she would not stop talking about that the entire night. She did what a lot of you guys do when one of your friends gets a really cool picture of you. What's the first thing you say? Send that picture to me. Send that picture to me, because probably it's going to go on Facebook and forever. It'll probably replace our marriage picture on my mantle at home, by the way, because she was that excited about Mary Lou Retton. And here's what I found, and this is kind of the premise of this entire series. You will have encounters in life with people that will be life-changing encounters for you. You will have encounters with life, with people and at places that will be life-changing encounters for you. Your life will never be the same after you have that experience. My wife's life will never be the same after that experience. How many of you guys have ever met a famous person? After that night, was that not like the coolest night of your life, right? Absolutely amazing. I had a couple of life-changing experiences I'll share with you briefly, and then we'll dive into the Word. So one of them was when Mark Enright and myself, Mark's back here in the back, he teaches one of our sixth-grade departments. One of those life-changing experiences was when Mark and I decided to take our two daughters to the Cynthia Woods Pavilion in the Woodlands to a One Direction concert. That was, without a doubt, one of the most life-changing experiences of my life. And here is why. Number one, the music was terrible. I'll never listen to them again. Sorry. Somebody hates me. Number two is this. I don't know how many does that thing seat? Like, I don't know, thousands and thousands, right? Like, have you ever been in an outdoor pavilion when it's like 97 degrees, 100% humidity, with like, I don't know, how many people does that seat? Okay, over 9,000? So let's say there were, listen, this will freak you out. There were 5,400 middle school girls there yelling at the top of their lungs. It was transformational. Like, I, to this day, middle school girls, if you walk up to me and you see me kind of like shudder a little bit or like jerk, it's because of that. That was a life-changing experience for me. That was my first life-changing experience, or one of my life-changing experiences. The other life-changing experience, when you meet somebody and your life is never the same, gentlemen, I'm going to tell you this right now. When you meet the love of your life one day, when you meet the woman that's going to be your wife one day, it is a life-changing experience. Your life will never be the same after you meet her. Some good, some bad. Just joking. Now, I will tell you this. I won't point out who, but when I said when you meet the love of your life one day, it will alter your life, it will change your life, I did see a husband put his arm around his wife, which means they had a fight on the way to church this morning, and he's trying to make it. No, I'm just thinking. But when you meet the woman of your dreams, it will be a life-changing experience for you. You'll never forget that. It will forever inform everything about your life. Let me tell you about the last one briefly, and I won't go into much detail with this. I had a life-changing experience back about 3 years or 2 years ago, I think, when I was in San Francisco with a mission trip. Now, if you are part of this experience, you'll know what I'm saying. We had an incredible experience in San Francisco doing missions all around the city. Some of you guys are going, oh my gosh. So having this incredible experience, the last 2 days of the mission trip, or the last day of the mission trip, we decided to take a free day and go down to the wharf in San Francisco. Anybody been to the wharf? Okay, so we go to the wharf. So my little team that we had that day, my wife and I had this little team, and we were navigating through the wharf, and we had a great experience that morning, and we go down to the wharf to have food, and a handful of people decided to go to Jack in the Box, what's it called? The hamburger place in California? In-N-Out Burger. So they went to In-N-Out Burger, which was a good thing because it was secluded inside this little pavilion. A handful of people needed to go to the restroom, which was a good thing. My wife and I and one other individual, Major McCoy, actually, he may be here this morning. We were standing outside waiting for the girls that needed to go to the restroom and the guys that were eating the In-N-Out Burger to get done there. And as I'm standing there, my wife does this. She goes, Jeff,
Jeff.
Jeff! And I was like, what? No, actually, I said, what do you need, sweetheart? No, I was like, what? And I looked over to her, and her eyes were the size of large dinner plates. Like I'd never seen before, and she's gazing this way. And she goes, and I looked this way, and there was about 150-person nude bike parade going down the street. I can never look at a bike the same, ever. It was an experience. So you get my point. So we have these experiences in life, and they're, I'll leave the story there. We have these experiences in life that are just altering for us. They never, ever, ever, our life is never, ever, ever the same when we have those experiences. So here's what I've put together for this entire sermon series. I've put together this one thought, and it's a difficult transition out of a new bike parade to this, but you will have experiences with God in your life that will transform your life in such a way that your life will never be the same. You will have encounters with God in life and throughout life that will somehow transform your life and make your life so different and so transformed that you'll never be able to look at things the same, you'll never be able to act the same, you'll never be able to talk the same. As a matter of fact, if you're taking notes, write this down. When we encounter God in a supernatural and profound way, we will always be transformed and lifted to a higher level of living. When we encounter God in a supernatural and profound way, we will always be transformed and lifted to a higher level of living. Now, there's a word for this. It's a Greek word, and the Greek word is actually called theophany. So theophany, when you experience God in a profound and a real way. Theophany, theos, of course, is God in the, and then the experience is we experience God in a profound way. We have this moment of encounter with him. That word is built off of the word epiphany. Maybe you've heard of that word before. If you don't know what that is, maybe sometimes you'll be sitting at home and you'll have a thought that will hit you all of a sudden. You'll be like, oh, I should do that. That would be a really good idea. That's an epiphany, that you have this moment where it's like, boom, you just have this experience. You weren't expecting it. It just happens. So theophany is built upon that premise, that there will be times in your life when you will have these profound experiences with God, and you will never be the same. You'll never think the same. You'll never look the same again. You'll never act the same way again. Now, here's what I know in a room this size. I know that there are people in a room this size who have already had that experience, where they had a moment with God, a theophany, that changed their life and altered it and brought them to a higher level of living. I'll give you an example. How many of you guys, without embarrassing anybody, you can just say yeah. How many of you guys have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Yeah. So you had a theophany. You had a moment in your life that was a life-transforming moment that made a difference in your life. That's what this series is built upon, that we are supposed to experience God every day like that, that we are supposed to experience God periodically like that, intensified, and in so doing, our life will be transformed. So let me answer this question. Why would I do a series like this? Why would I build a series about theophanies, about God encounters? There's two reasons. Number one is this. I had a profound theophany in Africa about a year ago. You've heard me talk about it, where we had the opportunity to stand at the foot of a mountain, and I experienced the power and the presence of God like I had never, ever, ever experienced that before, or maybe only a handful of times. And I thought, and I've been thinking and praying through that, is that normal? Should we expect to experience that kind of intensity? You know what I mean? The kind of like you could cut the power and presence of God with a knife. It was so thick, right? It was just something. So my thought was, should we have that experience? That's one reason why we're doing this series. The second one is, and maybe more importantly, is this. The reason we're doing this series is because we need to have that type of encounter with God. Every person in this room, regardless of who you are, is a broken person. We are tainted by sin. Our thoughts are not as our thoughts always should be. Our actions are not always as our actions should be. Our lives are not always as our lives should be. And we need an encounter with the living, sovereign God, because when we have those encounters, he transforms our lives and lifts us to a higher level of living. So that's why we're doing this series, because I've had those encounters, and I want each of you guys to have those encounters. And number two is this: we need those encounters. So if you're taking notes, I'm going to share two more things about this series, why we're doing it, or the premise that this series is built upon. Ready? Number one, here's why we're doing this series, or what it's built upon. What I said a moment ago: when we encounter God in a supernatural way and profound way, we will always be transformed and lifted to a higher level of living. That's premise number one, why we're doing it. Premise number two is this, very important. There will never be a more transformational or profound moment in your life than when you experience the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. There will never be a more profound transformational moment. Not a bike parade, not when you meet your wife. None of that will be as transformational or profound than when you meet Jesus Christ and have an encounter or experience with him. As a matter of fact, this is pretty important that you hear me say this as your pastor. We do not come in here on Sunday mornings to sing songs. We don't come in here on Sunday mornings to preach a sermon. We don't come in here on Sunday mornings to hang out as the community or the body united. You know why we come in here? We come into this room every week with a desire to encounter Jesus Christ, because it is only that has the power to transform your lives. When we leave here in a few minutes, we're going to go to life groups. We don't go to life groups to eat donuts, contrary to your opinion, some of you gentlemen. I see you smiling right now. We don't go to life groups just to have good snacks. We don't go to life groups just to hang out and talk through things. We go to life groups to encounter Jesus Christ, and in so doing, our lives are transformed and changed. We don't have LinkedIn on Wednesday nights to have 329 students on campus this past week. Give yourselves a hand. That was pretty impressive. We don't do that. We come here for LinkedIn on Wednesday nights for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is to encounter Jesus Christ, because we believe when we encounter Jesus Christ, our lives will always be transformed and changed. Always, 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 always. Ladies, contrary to what I publicize every week about our girls' ministry and picking on Leslie Licato, you don't eat lots of Froyo because it's good. You eat lots of Froyo in the hopes that through that you will encounter Jesus Christ in some way right now. But that's the desire in everything we do, to encounter Jesus Christ. Now, I want to clear something up. When I say I desire for you to have a theophany or an epiphany or an encounter with God, Mark, I want to distinguish between two for the series. Now, we encounter God every day of our lives. In everything we do, we encounter God. When you put your feet on the floor this morning, you began to encounter God and the glory of God. In everything you do, you encounter God. When you go to AP Chemistry, you encounter God in there. Can I get an amen? No. When you go to your school, you are encountering God, because God has created all. Now, I know it's hard to think that sometimes, especially in the schools you guys go to. You're like, I ain't encountering God in my school. I encountered a devil up in here. When you go anywhere, you encounter God, because God's glory fills the entire earth. Here's what the Bible says. Two verses. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14 says this: "For the earth is filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord, as the water covers the sea." Habakkuk says this: the entire earth is full of God's glory. You cannot eat, think, sleep, walk, wake up, come to church. You can't do anything without encountering God every day of your life. Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah. Isaiah wrote this: "And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" So you encounter God every day, Mark. That's one type of experience. But here's the difference I want to draw for this series. As I'm walking through encounters with God, I'm talking about very specific, vivid encounters that people have had with God. Moments where they were not expecting to encounter God in this way, but they had such a rich, intense, profound moment that it was as if the Lord Jesus was sitting right there next to them. Just as an experiment, let's just take a since we're doing the orientation, who's ever had one of those moments in your life where you had such an incredibly intense moment with God where you felt like he was right there with you. Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand real high. So I wish I had the time to go through every person and let you share your story. I won't, and this will make a lot of sense to you and for those of you guys who have not had that experience. I'm going to share a couple of encounters that I've had where they were so rich to set the stage for this and what we're going to be talking about for the next several weeks. The first one was early on in my ministry career. It was actually at my high school camp in 1989. I was in a worship service. We were worshiping as normal, and things were going along, and I was raising my hands, and I was praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it just, like, everybody was still worshiping, but it just got really quiet around me for some reason. And it was like I was in a room of several hundred people, but I was really the only person there. And I remember that night in July of 1989 that it was though the Lord Jesus was having a conversation with me and calling me into vocational ministry. It was weird. I know I'm a crier. I haven't cried in a long time, by the way. I know I'm a crier, but it was at that camp that I stood there for probably one of the first times, and under the power and the heaviness of the Holy Spirit, I was broken and I was bawling like a baby, and I did not know why. It was like somebody had turned on a faucet of tears. And it was just, I was trying to shut that thing down, dude. And they just kept rolling because I just felt this heaviness of the Lord Jesus Christ upon it. Here's another experience I've had. Early on in my student ministry career, my first youth group, we used to get together every Friday morning and we would pray at 6 o'clock in the morning before the kids would go to school. Now, it would be anywhere from, 8 to 15 students that would get together, and we'd get together and we'd pray for, 15, 20 minutes alone, and then I'd go wake them all up because they had fallen asleep during prayer, and then we'd come together on the stage and we prayed. One such morning, we decided to sit in a circle, and I can't do it anymore because I'm old and fat, but we sit down on the stage with our legs crossed like this and we were holding hands. And we were just praying, and I had them popcorn praying around, and it was weird. It was like all of a sudden, it just again, there was this heaviness that entered the room, and it was so rich and so amazing. Nobody could say anything, nobody, but you knew that for some reason we were having this incredible encounter. It wasn't as though we had not been encountering God before that. But it just got heavy for a moment. And maybe it was that we were more perceptive of God's presence there, but it was unbelievable, never be the same. Let me share one other one. You guys have heard me share about it. Mount Kilimanjaro, Africa. I cannot describe it. What is, in one word, describe the feeling in that moment. Can you do that?
Just incredible.
Incredible. In one word, describe the experience.
Amazing.
Amazing. In one word, describe the experience.
Awe-inspiring.
That's two words, actually. Awe-inspiring. Awe-inspiring. It's just... It was there. And my life will never be the same. Yours? Jeff Cook? It's you can't describe it. Let me share the last one, and then we'll get into the last couple of verses I'm going to share this morning. Some of you guys may remember this. I think it was 3 years ago at high school camp. How many seniors are in the room were here? I think it was seniors when John Wills was our camp speaker that year. Is that the year you guys were here, John Wills? Okay, how many of you guys were at camp that year? Raise your hand, not loud and proud. I want to see you. Okay, so, okay, good. Three of you, great. So, for the rest of you guys, I'll catch you up. So, we were in like the Wednesday night of service, and John had got done preaching, did a phenomenal job, and the Lord prompted me to go back up and close the service out as I do at times. And as I'm up there, I'm sharing a little bit about my experience at camp that I talked about earlier, and it wasn't anything I said. I'm setting the stage for you. I'm sitting there sharing, the lights are all down, there's a spotlight on me, so I can't see a single face because I'm just blinded by this light. And all of a sudden, I started hearing just crying. Like over here, I heard somebody crying, just and then like over here, I heard some crying. And over here, I started hearing brokenness. And we were just kind of sitting there. And it started getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Do you remember this? And the tears were flowing. And like I would do at any camp, I may cry, by the way, like I would do at any camp, I said, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus into your life and you're ready to be capsized by his grace and captured by his love, I want you to stand to your feet when I count to three. And I went one, two, three. Snap my fingers as I do at times. And I would guess probably, Tori, how many people? 70? 70 people, maybe, stood to their feet, and all you heard was weeping. Weeping. And we stood there. I didn't know what to say. I was scared to death. I was scared if I said something, the Lord would go, bzzz, and it was heavy. And this is what I said, and this will get you to grasp the moment. I said, I want you to step out right now, and I want you to go to the cafeteria, and somebody's going to be there to pray with you. And two people, Ray Morris, Susan Lonin. Susan, are you here this morning? I'm not sure if they're here this morning. Ray Morris, Susan Lonin came up to me, and almost in a little bit of a panic, and excitement, and they said, what are we going to do? Like, we've never had this many people respond before. Like, we have three people for every one counselor. What are we going to do? And there was this moment of, but you know what? God was faithful, and every one of those 70 or so people went there and had a transformational moment, and their life will never be the same, and I give all the glory to God for that because he deserves the glory. That's the kind of moment that I'm talking about. These encounters with God, the daily encounters, I don't want to minimize that, but these moments, these burning bush moments like Moses had, where their life was just transformed. So I'm getting ready to shut this down, but I do want to say something else and then close with this thought. I want to be careful in this series. Now, please hear me. I want you to do me a favor. Lift your feet off the floor for just a minute. It'll wake you back up. Okay, put them back down. I want to be careful in this series. I want to be careful that I'm not minimizing Habakkuk 2 or Isaiah, the glory of the Lord daily. I am not minimizing that. Nor am I trying to coerce you into having some kind of like weird theophany where you get up every day hoping that you have this intense encounter. We can't control those. Only God can. All I'm trying to do is simply this. Raise our awareness to these intense, profound moments with God through Scripture, number one. And number two is this. All I'm trying to do is set the stage where every person in this room will wake up every day of their life wanting to encounter the holy, living God in a supernatural way. That's all. I just want us to wake up with a passion in our heart and a hunger in our spirit to experience God every day of our life. Gentlemen, I'm gonna step on your toes for a minute, okay? Adult gentlemen and gentlemen, high school, middle schoolers. You guys have an obligation and a responsibility as a man and one day the head of your house to be the spiritual guide in your family. You should be the one setting the spiritual temperature in your room, and that starts with a hunger and an insatiable desire to pursue a holy God every day. If you do that, it will transform your living, your family, your marriage, or your potential marriage one day. Ladies, you have a responsibility to pursue God every day and want to encounter him every day, to be a holy, virtuous woman and to be an example to the world of a holy, virtuous God. You have that responsibility. That's my desire, that we have a hunger like we've never had before. Not going to ask you to raise your hand. My guess is this. My guess is there's people in a room this size who probably could go several weeks without having a quiet time. Never cracked their Bible, right? Believers, but it just things get in their way. Here's my desire. My desire is from the moment your feet hit the floor, you can't think of anything else except for opening up the holy pages of this word and having a profound encounter with God, because this is transformational, and when we encounter him, our lives will never, ever, ever be the same. My prayer is this. My prayer is every day of our lives, guys, we wake up and seek God in prayer like we have never sought him before, because I believe there is a harvest coming in the kingdom, and it's going to require men and women, boys and girls, students and pastors and leaders like us to search and long for God to somehow be used for that harvest. I believe it. The entire staff, we have been praying for weeks and weeks because we believe there's going to be an influx of people into this building and into this church and in this community that's going to blow us away. We are praying right now about distributing. Listen to this. We are praying about a time to distribute 40,000 copies of the Gospel of John in your schools, and legally can do it. And as a result, bring people into this room to experience and encounter God and see their lives changed. I believe we're going to see thousands. I do. I'm not just saying that as a pastor. I believe we're going to see thousands of people changed. But we have to get ready for that and encounter God. That's my prayer. And in encountering God, we will be set up to bring glory to God when we experience that harvest. Brad's going to come back and we're going to close in one final song. And let me finish with this. There are people in this room right now, girls, who struggle with their self-image, who are broken, depressed, who woke up this morning, looked in the mirror, and said, "Why can't I look like so-and-so?" There's people in the room like this. There are people in this room right now, listen to me, who are addicted to all types of things. Substances, addicted to a boy or a girl, addicted to internet poor activity, addicted to all sorts of things. There are people in this room that are addicted to pursuing things in life that are not godly things, or things in life that could be godly, but they have become idols in their life. Here's what I know. I know in order to get that right and be reconciled unto God, you have got to encounter Jesus Christ. I can't talk you into it. I can't give you a book that'll read you into it. You have got to, through whatever avenue, whether it be talking or reading or praying, encounter Jesus Christ. And it's then and only then that your life will be transformed. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to show a quick video. And as we're showing that video, I just want you to, in your hearts, say, "God, what needs to change in me? What needs to happen in me to be raised to a higher level of living? Maybe it's getting rid of a sin. Maybe it's giving your life to the Lord. Maybe it's just pursuing the Lord daily in the morning through your quiet time. I just want you to say, "Lord, what needs to change in me to be lifted to a higher level?" Let me pray, and then we'll watch this quick video. Brad will sing us out.